The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live in the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Coming up at 7:20, we will explore who's to blame for this loss. Online, Cake's getting the majority of the votes.
If you did a blame pie, I'd get a big chunk, big old heaping helping of that.
We'll get into that at 7:20. But joining us right now, a guy who has been covering the Commanders for years and years. But I'm wondering if this was one of the most emotional yo-yo games for you, John, particularly the last 5 minutes of the game. I mean, you talk about up and down emotionally. What was that like for you?
I mean, it was, I don't know, how would you describe the last few minutes? Because you think it's going one way, it's going another, it's going one way, then they're going to tie it. And it's like the most remarkable, like, could you imagine if you're a Dallas fan and you end up going to overtime because you can't defend a pass play like that to McLaurin, right? Like, how do you allow an 86-yard touchdown that? And so there were just so many swings. But even that one, like, even after that one, I'll be honest, the way that game went, you kind of had a feeling the extra point was going to be missed.
Oh, yeah, because especially he had missed one earlier, and the 51-yarder, you
correct.
Can kind of – but, like
– correct.
Following
well,
up on that,
good on the 51. The 51 yard, yeah, you can miss.
It was great.
It didn't look good at all. It didn't look good at all.
Was there any talk of Gonzalez maybe playing like halfway through the week if Seibert wasn't 100% ready?
No, there wasn't any talk of that. And Seibert said he felt fine. It certainly didn't look like the same operation. The snaps were low. There were a couple. Tyler Odd has been really good as a long snapper. There were a couple snaps that weren't as good as he's been. The first, I think, on the extra point miss, it was low. But it was also, it's not like that's the first time that's happened to in an operation like that. And Tress Way is a great holder and had it down. So does it mess up the timing? I don't know. He pushed it left. Like, he still got to the ball, right? So, but there wasn't any talk of that. But you have to wonder, like, was he fine? Because he certainly kicked a lot better before the injury than when he came back yesterday.
I think it's similar to what you saw with Jaden, right? When you're injured, you don't get the reps. You don't get the reps.
Yeah, you don't get the reps, but he had the reps this week.
Not the same.
You don't.
Yeah.
I know, but it's, I don't know to how much that affected all of it, but it certainly it did not. I mean, listen, you can look at anything with that and wonder, because it didn't look good. Like, he looked good all year.
I know, he looked like a totally different guy.
Yeah, it did, yesterday did not. I mean, again, the 51-yarder that was missed was was bad.
Of course, I tweeted about how great he was, and then he had his worst game.
You cursed him. All right, let's get to the larger thing, John. We've been talking about this for the first hour of the show, but want your opinion. This offense has sputtered.
Yeah.
So I went through three and outs in the first nine games. They only had 12 three and outs. They've had 12 in the last three. If you looked at punts in the first nine games, Tressway only had 19 punts. He's got 17 in the last three. You watch film, you look back at games. What is kind of your larger picture takeaway of what's happened with Cliff Kingsbury's offense?
So a couple of things. One, first of all, like, it's one thing. Pittsburgh and Philly have good defenses. Not that that's always an excuse, but it's a reality. Like, you're facing a better defense. You're like, okay. You know, and they Philly, they really got stopped. And Pittsburgh, they, you know, 27 points, whatever. And there were opportunities. There were, and, like, Pittsburgh, I didn't feel as bad about because they had more opportunities. It was just like, you missed this throw, you dropped this one, you missed this block. Like, there were several plays where that game is different if one of those plays is made, right? So, but the point is, they were there to be made. And so that felt different. The last week, it was bad, and then yesterday it was bad. And Dallas does not have a good defense. They do not do a good job stopping the run. They did yesterday. So to me, so much of it starts with the run game. And that has been non-existent the last few weeks. And again, I know you're facing good teams, but if you have a good offense, those are the teams you are allowed to do well against still. So I think it starts there. And they're getting put into worse situations on third down. And, you know, there's very little in the pass game that has looked the same as far as the rhythm and the timing of everything. But I do think some of that is, like, the run game is not as effective. They're also not running as much tempo, and they did a little bit yesterday, but they haven't been able to get to that as much. And whether that's a byproduct of not being in good situations, not converting on third down, those are issues because they seem to like to do that after third down conversions, right? So, you know, those, it all adds up, but it's, you know, watching it again, like, Dallas, Philly didn't do it as much, but most of the last however many games, Chicago, Giants, Pittsburgh, like, they're blitzing more than they do in other games. And Dallas did, I think they had 16 five-man rushes yesterday, which is their season high. Now, on those, like, sometimes at times it felt like the Tampa game, where you felt like the line was getting fooled more than as much as sometimes definitely beaten, but they did the same stuff. They're chipping the edges. The backs are in, you know, for blitz pickup. One time, you know, the back doesn't see the blitz coming off the edge. And so off the other edge. So, like, but I think to me, it goes back to the run game. It has not been good, and it's turning them into a one dimensional team. And then it's getting into more third and longs, and then they're blitzing more. And whether it's forcing a quick throw, a sack, a scramble, whatever. So it's certainly way out of rhythm. And, you know, again, you can look at it and say, oh, Philly's really good, short week. This was not a short week. This was and this was not a good defense. And this was not a good run defense. And they didn't get it done. And I know they ended up with over 400 yards, but, like,
that's, I mean, we know the true story. Yeah, they had 9 points with 4 minutes to go.
Hey, John.
They were averaging 3.9 yards per pass midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah, not great. A team has never needed a bye as much as this Commanders team, which they're getting in week 14. And that's insane that the NFL has byes that late, but that's another story. But
3 years in a row.
I know, it's crazy. But you touched on the running back room, and, I mean, scary scene with Austin Ekeler being helped off the field. I mean, that both teams kneeling at midfield. I mean, terrifying. Hopefully he's okay. But Brian Robinson gets folded over early in the game. They released Chris Rodriguez. Like, that running back room going forward, at least for the next week, it just looks, there's a lot of question marks there. How do they attack that going forward?
Well, you can bring Rodriguez back.
Yeah.
That was designed to create a spot for Javonte Jean-Baptiste. And they, you know, he can go right back to the practice squad, but now you're going to need him. You know, depending on what we hear about, I mean, it did not look great with Ekeler. I know he went to the hospital last night. They said out of abundance of caution, but, you know, that was a scary scene. And, if nothing, I mean, it would be surprising to see him back out there this weekend. But with Robinson, I don't know. What we know is that he, you know, he's had multiple injuries this year, and he couldn't go back in the second half. So you have to wonder about that. So Rodriguez can come back in, right? And you still have McNichols. So they are, and they have Michael Wiley on the practice squad. So they have options. It's just not, you know, it's not the same. And you know that it's a hit, and it's the wrong time. Plus, the other problem is too, the line is banged up. That to me is as big a problem as anything. And Biadasz was evaluated for a concussion, but he's been dealing with some, you know, foot stuff. And Wiley is in concussion protocol. That is another one. So there's a lot of issues there. You're right. Like, they desperately need a bye. But I think it also highlights, too, like, just how the need to build really good depth for any team.
Look,
it's hard to do in 1 year.
The bottom line is that it's a regression to the mean. Lost to a bad team. It's been trending this way. You can, as JP points out, you can even go before, like, with the Browns, like the Bears. You know, we had to pull that out of our butts. So it is what it is. But I do wonder, and Cliff seems, he doesn't seem to love, like, talking to me. He gives you the bare minimum, right? When you guys ask Cliff, I think he's been asked a few times about the criticism of, like, Line and Terry up in the same spot all the time. Like, I'm sure he has a rationale. Like, he's not a dummy. But what is the rationale for that sort of thing? Because other teams seem to target their stars. I'm sure we want to target our guy 10 times. They talk about it every week. But it doesn't happen. We seem too predictable. I know what they were doing yesterday, John. They were, like, forcing the run because Dallas is so bad against the run. Well, I mean, it became obvious that about, you know, two or three possessions in, that wasn't going to work. So I don't know. Like, what are some of his – can people press him? I just press him a little bit.
On the Terry stuff, the one thing I know, first of all, like, last year, he was a lot more balanced with where he lined up.
Mm-hmm.
He had a worse year. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about that. And I know, like, last week...
Yeah, but just
week,
move him around. He also had a worse quarterback.
He did, but, like, the point is they weren't getting the ball to him, and it was not about as much where he lined up. Like, even this year before last week, like, the targets have pretty well been there. And a lot of... When talking to him, he said that, like, he has more routes that he can run from that side now than he has in the past, which is why he wasn't as big an issue, right? But having said that, like, if they're doing things, can you motion him from right to left to then put in, you can run the same stuff, but can you motion him that way and do that? And, you know, it is a ton of times on that side. And
John, he's only been targeted in double digits once this season. That was against Arizona, where he was targeted 10 times.
I just think it's too predictable, John. I just think it's too predictable.
Let me say this. Like, the offense had been doing well up until lately. So it hasn't really been an issue until lately.
Yeah, because teams catch offense, up. They catch up.
That's fine. That's what I'm saying. But, like, to point to early in the year, the offense was scoring 30 points a game. So
his
targets were not as big an issue. Now it is. And so... You're right. Like, you can now, he shouldn't, like, yesterday, I'd go to him early in the game just because. And that's because, like, you should, you know, the importance of him to this offense is pretty big. So, yeah, there are definitely things you can do differently. I'm not saying not to do anything differently. I'm just saying, like, for most of the year, the offense is doing pretty well. So,
yeah, but
know,
maybe for the last four or five.
It's been the last couple, right? I mean, like, you know, the Giants game, he had two catches for 19 yards. That's it. They moved the ball very well. It wasn't an issue for 2 for 19 because other stuff was going well. And
it's still kind of an issue, though, don't you think, John? Because he's our best player.
No, it is. It is. But I'm telling you, like, they were scoring 30 a game with him doing the same thing. So lately, it is an issue. And so I don't think I can go back and say, well, in these games, he didn't get enough. They were scoring 30 a game. Now, like I say, the last two, it's been more the bigger issue.
Look, I don't think that's the reason why they lost. I think they're just forcing things. But I do think we're too predictable.
The run game is the run. That's fine. The run that can be, that could well be, and that's something that, like the whole Kingsbury stuff. One game, it was a Philly game. Well, now it's two games in a row where the offense has looked bad to me, right? And so now you have to start to question a lot, and that is absolutely something you have to question. And I'm not trying to say don't do anything different at all. I'm just saying it's really the last couple games where it has been an issue, where not only is he not getting the targets, but they're not moving the ball. So, like, now it's, you know, it's just like, you know, if you're a basketball player and you're not getting your points, whatever, like, if you're winning, it's okay, right? Because you're winning. And that's the goal. But now you're not. And so now you have to look at ways to invigorate an offense that has stalled. And one way, again, to get him more touches is to move him around, maybe a little bit more motion and do things. Because you do see, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is moving all over the place, and they're putting him in the backfield. I'm not sure that you put Terry in the back for the run like that. The point is, you know, are there different things you can do with him? But I will say this. More so than his targets, it is the run game that is the issue. They run the ball. And so, like, if you do that, now things how do other things look? But that, to me, is the biggest issue.
But that's part of the targets, John, because when you're just forcing the run, then you're not targeting your guy.
Well, it's not about forcing the run. It's about they can't run it. You can't be one-dimensional. Like, they can't run the
ball. Well, I think they're forcing it. Yeah, they can't run it. So move away. Pass to your stud. Like, utilize Jaden more. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's fine.
John, the frustration is boiling over.
I know, but if you can't run the ball, like, that's fine. Yeah. Get it to Terry. They still can't run the ball. Like, you have to be able to run the ball, and if they don't, they are not going to turn this around.
John, always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
that's John Kime, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com.
Even if you win and Terry only caught it twice, okay, that's fine. You won. That's the point. That doesn't mean he still should be targeted 10 times every game,
Definitely.
Even in wins. Like,
it's only happened one time this year.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? We won. Yeah, we won. We scored 30 without it. We could have scored 50 with him.
Yes.
Like,
use him. It's generally not sustainable to win games when you're not involving your best players.
Yeah,
you got to involve your best players. It's common sense.
Yeah. And I think they are forcing the run. And yes, you have to be able to run, but if it's not working, you got to figure something out.
All right, coming up next, who do you blame for the loss? It's three in a row, but they lost to the Dallas Cowboys. They were prohibitive favorites. They were facing a team that had lost five in a row, that had been giving up 35 points per game, that was being gouged week in and week out on the ground. That had Cooper Rush, who a couple weeks ago threw for 45 yards.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That team beat Washington yesterday. Who do you blame? Is it Cakes, who said it was physically impossible to lose to a Cooper Rush-led team?
I'm bracing myself over here.
Is it Cliff? Is it Jaden? Is it the defensive line that can't pressure Cooper Rush? Who do you blame? We'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067.